We at Access More are deeply saddened to announce the passing of our dear friend Mandisa. Through her Out of the Dark podcast, she has been a champion and advocate for those who struggle with mental health issues. She is a friend whose voice will be missed, whose smile made others smile, and whose honesty helped share the burdens of those who heard her thoughtful and endearing words. Access More remembers Mandisa.
Access More. But you pull me out of the dark, into the light.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Out of the Dark podcast. I am Mandisa here with Lara Williams.
Hello.
Hi. You are a licensed professional counselor. Yep. We keep joking with the fact that I want to get the phrasing correct on that. You are a professional counselor. You're also a mother.
Yes.
And the last few episodes, motherhood has come up a lot. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, let's kind of talk about that. Yeah. You had that, you know, you wrote a list of different subjects that we could talk about. And you mm-hmm. asked some people to kind of share a little bit with what are some subjects that we can address on this season. Did this, just the whole thought of motherhood, did mm-hmm. that come from a recommendation or was that something that you wanted to talk
it's
about?
Both. it's both. It's something I notice in my private practice because mm-hmm. a lot of mothers have a ton of shame about everything you could possibly imagine. But also just in my own story, it's something that I really have to work on every day is acknowledging that my role as a mother is really important.
Absolutely.
And not that it's not just something that is like this devalued kind of like, well, you're just a mom, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah. I did this tour called Girls Night Live and mm-hmm. we would have something called Girl Chat at the end. A lot of the talk came from mothers and, you know, I'm not a mom. I'm not a mom of a human child.
Yes.
I do have my dog, Kaya, which is very different. But a lot of the questions and the shame that I could tell that people were feeling were one from people from working mothers mm-hmm. who felt like they could not be there for their child. You know, I was raised by a single mom. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things that came up in one of our earlier episodes is I mean, I've not asked my mom this, but I wonder if because she had to work a 9-to-5 job mm-hmm. and because, you know, I was at home a lot, like I wonder if she felt any kind of shame about that.
Oh, yeah.
It's hard as a single mom, but it feels like it's hard for just you moms in general.
Yeah.
Because either you're working and you feel like you can't be there, or you're not working and you feel like, well, I'm just a mom. And anytime I hear somebody say, I'm just a mom,
I'm like,
are you kidding me? Like, you are shaping a life from your womb.
Yes. It's hard work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Help me understand, and I'm sure we've got a lot of moms listening, like why is it so hard to feel valued as a mom? To me, it feels very obvious. Like a mom, like that is one of the greatest jobs that you can have. But is it society that tells you that it's not enough?
Yeah, and I think I think we have come a long way. But also, we kind of, with COVID, I think we've kind of taken a little bit of a step back. And I feel this spiritually just in my soul.
How so?
You know, I mean, when COVID kind of came about, who were the first people to leave their jobs and go back home?
Huh. Okay.
Right? A lot of moms.
Yeah.
A lot of moms had to leave their jobs and go back home.
And then become mom and teacher. And it feels like, to me, from the outside looking in, it would feel like I would recognize how important I am to my family as a mom because mm-hmm. now I'm wearing all of these hats that I have to do.
But being a mom too, like when you're at a job, right, or anything, like we get feedback, right? Mm-hmm. At my job, my feedback is, are my clients getting better, right? Are they making changes? Not that I'm solely responsible for that, but like that's kind of like data, right? Yeah. It's feedback. Even recording this podcast, like hearing feedback saying, hey, I really liked this podcast. Mm-hmm. Could you do one on this? Like hearing that feedback tells me, oh, okay, I'm doing a good job.
Right.
Right?
Okay.
if every day the best feedback you got was food thrown at you and I don't like this dinner, this is the worst dinner ever.
Oh, gosh.
Right?
Yeah.
And slam doors in your face. And, you know, like if that's the feedback you're getting, how in the world can you feel always good about that?
Sure.
Right? Or if you're constantly stepping on Legos and the house is always a mess and you haven't even gotten a shower and then your husband comes home and he goes, what did you do today?
Oh, wow.
And you're like, do you know what I did today?
I cannot imagine.
Oh.
Wow.
Right? Okay. And so it's the fact that a lot of moms don't come into motherhood with a core value of themselves.
Okay.
And then you get to motherhood and you're like, oh my God.
Mm.
It's number one, it's not a kid's job to thank you.
Mm.
It's not a kid's job to take care of you.
It sure must feel good though when that happens.
It does.
Kids, if you're a kid listening, tell your mom how grateful you are for them.
Yes. I will say my boys are really good at that.
That's
they
great.
Really are. But they're older.
Okay.
You know, I have one leaving for school and then a 16-year-old, almost 16, and a 12-year-old.
Okay.
They're able to recognize, like, mom's worked really hard today, and then she came home and cooked dinner. I'm going to sit down and I'm going to have gratitude.
Okay.
And they'll look at me and go, thank you, mom.
Hmm.
Right? Like, that's important.
Okay.
But when they're a toddler and you've just been pooped on, you know, you've been vomited on last night. And again, you're stepping on Legos and trying to cook. And, you know, Johnny won't let go of your leg. And there's no reward, in theory, to motherhood.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Like, yeah, it feels like it's a constant wrestle then with
your
identity and your worth. I think you had on there, like, hearing the phrase, like, feeling like my work isn't that important.
Yes.
I think my wrestle is, I don't know, it feels like you're giving life to these people and you are making sure that they are clothed and given food and healthy functioning, you know, human beings. That feels very important to me.
Yes.
So I guess I have a hard time. That feels so important. How is the wrestle then feeling like it's not important?
I think, again, it's that idea of value, right?
Okay.
If we don't come into motherhood with high, not even high esteem, but just like esteem, like we know we have value, we are going to look to either our kids or the world to validate us.
Is there also a, you know, we go back to our episode about social media.
Yes.
Is there also a looking on social media and seeing all these perfect moms and their perfect children and comparing yourself?
I don't know if I told this story, but when my oldest was in fifth grade, we decided to homeschool because in Davidson County, it goes, elementary was K through four, and middle school started in fifth grade.
Really?
And I'm like, I am not sending my little guy to middle school in fifth grade. And we couldn't afford to do private school at that time. And so I said to my husband, I was like, well, why don't we homeschool for a year and just see what we want to do after that? And so I started this journey of like homeschooling, and I was on all the blogs, and I was looking on everybody's, you know, Facebook page. I don't even think Instagram was around then, but I was looking at everybody's Facebook page and I felt so bad about myself because I was like, I'm homeschooling one child and I can't find time to go to the creek and like play with the frogs and, do these other science experiments. I'm like, I'm just barely getting him to do math.
Because you were looking at what everybody else was posting about homeschooling and you thought that you could not measure up to that?
No. And so I talked to this friend of mine who she was a mom that homeschooled all of her children. Yeah. And I said, I don't know what I'm doing wrong. I'm like, we can't even get through the day without a fight. And I'm like, how are these people going to the creek? And is there anything else I can do to like make this better? And she goes, stop looking on Facebook. And that is true, right? Like when we talked about comparison, right? If we go to social media and we look for our value as a mother, it's going to be way down in the toilet.
Sure.
There's no way that we're going to ever find esteem by looking at everybody else's lives. No chance.
You know, I've got a friend, she homeschools her four daughters.
Oh my gosh.
And they've got, what do you call it? It's a like they get together once a week. Or, I don't know what it's called.
Oh, I forget the word for it, but yes.
But yeah, so they have this group that they do that with. And so I guess at the end of the year, they have a presentation. And this family, I would just say they're very musically talented. Mm-hmm. All four girls are incredible singers and the husband is a great songwriter.
Wow.
And so they do this presentation. I think the last year they used the music from Hamilton and they had to do like an introduction of the family. And they've got these 6-part harmonies and like, it's incredible. Oh. Like this video, I'm thinking, I need to get this on some, like Oprah needs to see it or something.
Oh my goodness.
It's amazing. And I'm just thinking about the other parents looking at that video and feeling like they don't measure up because they can't do what this mother and this father are able to do. So I get that. Yes. I understand how comparison can feel that way.
Yeah.
How do you combat that? Like, how is this something that you can interrupt, you know, the negative self-talk about?
Well, I think, you know, one of the things is not expecting perfection. Mm. You know, even as moms, I think all of us that have been through our own counseling journey, the one thing that I think is negative about it is we think we can prevent our children from ever needing therapy, right? Yeah. Like, no, it's not possible. Mm. Like, it's just not, you know? I tell people all the time, like, when we're talking about generational trauma, right? We're slowing a Mack truck that's speeding down a hill at like 80 miles an hour.
Sure.
The best thing we can do when you're the first generation that's getting any kind of counseling is put the brakes on. Mm. We're not actually going to stop it. Yeah. You know, that may take like one or two more generations. Mm-hmm. So even releasing the responsibility of, oh my gosh, if my kid needs counseling, it means it like totally messed them up.
Wow.
Right? That's like number one good self-talk.
It feels like, to me, counseling is so positive. Like, mm-hmm. I guess my thought is, if your kid isn't counseling, good for them.
Yes.
Like, learning how to process these emotions and these thoughts, that feels like a grand slam, something you would want.
Yes, I agree with you. Mm-hmm. But it's taken me a long time to get there.
Got it.
Because I know that a lot of the reasons I'm in counseling are because of things that I grew up with.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Some of the things were not not in my parents' control, mm-hmm. but some of it was. And so, you know, when I think about my kids in counseling, I'm like, oh no, what did I do? Mm-hmm. Like, and I can already go through the inventory of the list in my head of all the things that they're going to need counseling for. Mm-hmm. But in the healthy part of me, like when I'm really healthy about it, I can go, you know what? The best thing I can do is own it when they do come to me and say, Mom, do you remember when this happened? And I can go, yeah.
Wow.
And that's mine.
Do your kids say that?
You know, they do sometimes.
That's awesome.
It's, you know, my youngest came to me the other day and he goes, Mom, I just feel like you've been angry with me a lot.
Wow.
And I said, oh my gosh, buddy. You know what? You're right. Aww. But I'm not angry with you. Mm-hmm. I said, I've just been frustrated by a lot of stuff going on and I'm overwhelmed and I've not been using good coping skills. And so I'm really sorry that that came off on you like that.
Oh my gosh. Yes. That's so great.
I know, but I was like.
One, that he felt comfortable even saying that to you. Like, that's a big deal.
Yes.
But then the way that you addressed it, like I mentioned earlier, my friend who apologized to her daughter was like, that is amazing. Because to me, that child is learning, first of all, that nobody's perfect and that when somebody messes up, to apologize and to ask for forgiveness, like that, to learn that at an early age as a child, I think really sets them up for success in the future.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
There is a neat, I read this book. It's called The Holistic Psychologist. She's got a lot of great things to offer, but one of the things that she talks about in her book, it was specific toward parents. Mm-hmm. And she was talking about, like, actually, if we're perfect parents, it's actually not good for kids.
Right.
Which I really took that to heart because I was like, oh, thank the Lord.
Yeah.
Like somebody else saying that because I'm definitely not the perfect parent. But it also teaches our kids how to forgive, right?
Yeah.
Because if their parent never apologizes or never admits they're wrong, they actually don't have to learn to forgive, which I think I will speak for myself. I struggle with that.
Mm-hmm.
I struggle with forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a lesson that we can have from being an imperfect parent toward our children is their ability to forgive and repair and move forward.
And like, also, that's a big deal. They're learning then when they have wronged somebody to also apologize. Like they'll repeat what you do more so than what you say. Yes,
absolutely. Yeah. And I noticed that about my kids too. Mm-hmm. Like they will genuinely apologize. I don't have to make them apologize.
That's awesome.
They will genuinely apologize most of the time. Most of the time.
That's great.
When they know they're doing something
You're
wrong.
You're good, Mom, Laura.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. But this brings me to like, when you say that, I'm like, but I'm not home. We were just talking about that. When we were talking, Mandy's and I were talking about just this episode. And I'm like, I don't know if I'm in the right frame of mind. Mm-hmm. Like thinking about you in our first episode about mental health, like feeling like you're in the dark about your own state. Like that's where I feel right now as a mother. Mm-hmm. You know, I work full time. And I do this on top of that. And then, like, our summers are just crazy. We play a lot of baseball and we're traveling a lot. And so we're just kind of, like, juggling a lot of things.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, I got a kid moving away to college in August. Mm-hmm. And so talk about shame. Like, I've just been kind of in a pit lately about, like, I'm not home.
Okay.
I'm not attentive. I'm distracted. I was sharing with you that we recently moved our office. Like, that's taken up a bunch of time. And so just noticing in myself how my worth has kind of been, like I've said earlier, kind of like in the toilet because I'm like, I'm not really doing anything really well.
Okay. Is it tied to like something you're observing with your children or is it just something in yourself that you feel this way? Like, what has prompted this self-talk.
Okay. So it goes, again, goes back to story, right? So when I was younger, and I think we talked about this last season, if my dad was ever in a bad mood, I would pick it up and I knew it was something I did, even though it probably wasn't. He might have had a bad day at work. He might have, you know, had been in a bad mood because he was depressed. Whatever it wasn't really about me, but I assumed it was about me, right? So today what happens is if say my, you know, my son comes in and he's moody about something. Instead of just going, oh, he's 16.
Yeah.
He's probably moody because he just lost his video game. You know, like, no, he's moody because I'm a negligent mom and I have not done the right things and I should be home more and you don't have enough snacks in the fridge and you haven't been to Costco in 3 weeks. And do you see what I'm saying? Like,
okay.
I assume that they're moodiness or their like not wanting to speak, like not wanting to speak to me, but like maybe not being conversing or that kind of thing. Yeah. Like that's me.
Does
that make sense?
It does. It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Such a wrestle. You know, I'm thinking about it from two perspectives. One, I'm noticing my friends that are parents, that are moms.
Yeah.
I want to do something to help because I hear so much my friends saying, oh, I'm a bad mom and I did this. And, I want to interrupt that.
Yeah.
But then also talk to, like, what is something that we can do for the moms in our lives or fathers?
Yeah.
Put them in there too.
Yep.
What is something that we can do to help or to encourage our moms? And then also I'm going to ask you, and you can do this later, but thinking about how do you change your mindset yourself as a mom? So start with what's something that I can do to help my mother friends?
Yeah. Just showing up.
Yeah.
Showing up for a mom who just had 3 nights of no sleep. She might not need you to take your kids. She might just want to have another adult in the room.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
You know, I know that when I had young children, and even today sometimes, like, although my kids are older and they converse more and they're actually like little humans. when they're really young and you feel like all you've done all day is play Legos and Barbies, you can feel pretty dead.
Got it.
Like, am I even here? And so even just having another, I think, female in the room with you is just so life-giving.
Love that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
so
a great
life-giving.
Idea. Okay.
Yes. You don't really have to do anything.
Just kind of
just
be there.
Be there.
Just be. And
just
so
be.
As a mom who, if this is something that you're wrestling with right now, and I know there are people listening who they have the same wrestle, and I didn't think about this in the summer. Like it doesn't matter what season it is for me, but in the summer, your kids are at home and you're probably being pulled in a lot of different ways.
Yeah.
What are some healthy habits that mothers can put into place to not go to that stinking thinking place of negative self-talk.
Yes. I'm trying, you know, like there's a lot of, I think, again, like acknowledging that that there is power in mothering. Right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Hear it from me.
I know.
Hear it from somebody who, you know, has a tricky relationship with my mom. I'll say that. I remember when I finally moved away to college and I looked back, I was a horror show from about the age of 14 to 17.
Aren't
so
we
I remember
all?
Calling my mom up and saying, "Mom, I'm sorry. I was horrible. I treated you so bad." And just recognizing, now I recognize the wrestle with, and again, she was a single mom, of wanting to be there for your child, but then also, like, she had to work. Like, she actually had to, or else we would not have been able to function.
Yes.
And so I thanked her for it. And so I think mothers are so important, and the way that you are shaping their lives, like children, they don't just do what you say. Like, they're looking at how you are living your life. Yes. And I can say this to my friends who are mothers who are working, like their children, seeing them work, I think is having an impact on how they see themselves and their value. And also when I see them do healthy things with their children, it blows my mind seeing the way that they talk through their children. Like I saw my pastor, who's a woman, my pastor is a man and a woman. They're married. But I saw her have a conversation with her son one time about a boy at school who had hurt his feelings. And she, on the phone, she was saying, "And how did that make you feel?" And I was like, "Oh, my gosh. Like, who does this? Helping a child identify their feelings and talking through things like that, it may feel so small at the time, but that child is learning how to process their feelings and how to talk things out. And that right there is going to have an indelible mark on the way that they process for the rest of their lives. So I mean, I want to applaud the mothers out there just knowing the little things that you're doing is having a mark. It's marking your child for the rest of their lives.
Yeah. And I will agree with you. I think that that's true. And, you know, kind of when we were talking about a couple episodes back, when we were talking about the shame cycle, like when you're eating a donut, right? And then you're eating another one and you're like, "Oh, well, I mean, may as well just, you know,
finish the box
because here I am," right? It's even being able to stop that pattern because like where I find myself, and I'm being super vulnerable here, is that once I get in that shame about, "Oh, I missed the mark here and I did this and I didn't show up and I had to leave before they woke up this morning." And I am way more likely to be like on my phone or on my computer or, you know, picking up the house rather than actually just sitting with them and conversing with them. So I think as much as, you know, it is like acknowledging like, "Hey, you're doing a great job," it's also being a good steward of the job that God gave us, right? Which is being a mother. And going, "Okay, sure, you had to leave before they got up from their bed today. Okay, so what can you do now?
Okay,
what can you do now?" Right? Yeah. And so that's where I have been trying to go, rather than going to the place of shame, which is, "Oh, I'm a crappy mom."
Yeah.
Right? No, I'm a good mom. And what does a good mom do right now?
Okay.
A good mom puts down her phone and takes a minute to check in with her kid.
So good.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
And it's not shame.
Yeah.
That's not shame. I'm believing I'm a good mom.
Yeah.
And so we act out of that versus I'm a bad mom, so I'm just going to pick up my phone and scroll through Instagram.
Absolutely. I mean, it comes to that place of identity and what you're believing about yourself. Yeah. You will act out of what you believe about yourself.
Yes.
Like if I am believing that I'm never going to conquer this weight thing, I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm just going to keep doing what I've always done. But if I interrupt that thought with, "No, actually, God has given me everything that I need in order to overcome this battle," then the next decision that I make is more likely to be a healthier decision and to not go to a place of shame. It feels very similar for mothers, like interrupting the pattern.
Yes.
Yeah.
Realizing like, okay, I did pick up my phone there, but now I can put it down.
So good.
Right? And there's not shame attached to it.
So, okay, talk to yourself as a mom.
Yep.
I'm tempted to have you put your hand on your heart.
I know.
Your other hand on your stomach. Like, because I know it's going to impact the other moms that are listening. What is the self-talk that you want to say to yourself?
Hmm. the self-talk would be, I am good enough. I'm good enough. And there is such a thing as a good enough mom. Mm. We don't have to be perfect. And if I'm speaking to my little Laura, you had to be perfect. And that was your job when you were little. And I'm not going to let you do that anymore. I'm taking over. And I'm going to love on you. And we're going to be okay, even if we're not perfect. That's what I would say to her.
That's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Love that. Mm-hmm. I think as you read Proverbs 31, mm-hmm. we all know that. And mm-hmm. I think of it from a mother's perspective. Like, I think we maybe feel like we don't measure up to that perfect mom. Yes. But I think that is, I think that's when we lean on our perfect God, mm-hmm. Who says, you are good enough just the way that you are. You are perfect just the way that you are. Mm-hmm. And not feeling like you've got to clothe yourself, like you have to knit your own clothes and, you know, do everything that Proverbs 31 woman does.
Does.
Like showing up for your kids and knowing that even your mistakes can ingrain healthy habits into your children. Yes. So,
yep, that's the truth.
I applaud you mothers. You're doing a great job.
Thanks.
We'll see you next time.
We at Access More are deeply saddened to announce the passing of our dear friend Mandisa. Through her Out of the Dark podcast, she has been a champion and advocate for those who struggle with mental health issues. She is a friend whose voice will be missed, whose smile made others smile, and whose honesty helps share the burdens of those who heard her thoughtful and endearing words. Access More remembers Mandisa.